The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So the first image is a deep field, and it's also a deep field with a cluster. So why don't we walk through this just a little bit? So if we come up and look at this image, first of all, it's really gorgeous, and it's teeming with galaxies. And that's something that has been true for every image we've gotten with Webb. We can't take blank sky. Everywhere we look, there's galaxies everywhere. And so, you know, this image, as we're looking at it, what we're seeing is not just all the galaxies, but there's a cluster here. And so the cluster are all these white kind of ethereal galaxies. We're seeing them as they looked back in time, right? The speed of light is only so fast. And so as we're seeing distant galaxies out in space, we're seeing them as they looked billions of years ago. So these cluster galaxies, the white ones, we're seeing as they looked about the time the sun and the earth formed. And then behind the cluster, we have the gravity of the cluster is distorting and warping our view of what's behind. And so there are these galaxies that look stretched and pulled, kind of like they've been magnified because they've been magnified by the gravity of the cluster, just like Einstein said they would. And, you know, it's really, there's so much detail here. We're seeing these galaxies in a way that we've never been able to see before. There's just a sharpness and a clarity we've never had.
And so the images are coming in from the James Webb Telescope, and we've been, of course, talking about this for months now, particularly Joel Hilliker here at our headquarters campus. He's helping me out with the SEP program here on campus. We kicked off the summer educational program just last night. Even as we were getting these first images from NASA, from this telescope, galaxies everywhere, says this woman. And you can hear it in her voice how excited she is. And many of the pundits that are talking about this are also excited. They're filled themselves. They're filled with a sense of wonder. And yet they don't understand why the universe. None of them do. Now, God's family, of course, understands. And I could take you through Bible passage after Bible passage that tells you that that universe that we're seeing now, clearer than ever before, it's going to be populated by God's family. That's the vision that we're going to be giving our young people at this summer educational program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Day. That we certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio. To get to the live video stream, however, you've got to go to our very own website. That would be thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. You can see it there on the lower third. Trumpet.com/live. It takes you to the live stream page every weekday morning here in Oklahoma or Central Standard Time. That would be 11 a.m. Noontime on the East Coast, and of course 9 a.m. out west. And you've got to adjust the figures yourself if you're listening in from somewhere around the world. And we do have an audience that spans many, 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 many different nations. So we, as I say, we appreciate you joining us so much to get to. On today's show, as you've probably noticed in recent summers, you're going to be getting a lot of the summer educational program flavors on the Trumpet Daily, because that's what we're involved in. That's what we're immersed in. One of the points that Mr. Hilliker was bringing out to the campers this morning, aside from the fact that, as he said, the timing is perfect of these images coming from James Webb. They're more for our young people than they are for those scientists that are so excited about the images coming in, because God wants to help our youth to understand that they're going to not only populate the universe, I mean, they're the leaders, they're the teachers, they're the scientists of tomorrow. God's preparing them for a glorious calling. We've got this beautiful booklet, Our Awesome Universe Potential. Our awesome universe potential. Think about Mr. Armstrong's book, The Incredible Human Potential. Think about how Mystery of the Ages ends, chapter 7. You know, that unforgettable quote by Herbert Armstrong. Now we come to the beginning. That's the way the book ends. That's the way God thinks. I mean, his 7,000-year master plan, you've got scientists on the air today talking about billions and billions and billions of years. Mr. Hilliker noted to the young people this morning that just about a century ago, the experts thought that we had one galaxy, that there was just one galaxy. And now you hear them talking about, and here's a case where the experts actually get it right. Well, even there, I should clarify, they're just estimating on the billions and billions. But one thing that they know, and they're right about this, that space is teeming with galaxies. That's right. They're stretching, expanding, and growing, even as we speak. Here are these images coming in, and they're clearer than they've ever been. We're just adding this now to the Hubble telescope from a few decades ago. God, even as this world descends into darkness, that's what I want to try to emphasize with the young people at this SEP. And I'll bring it out even today. What a contrast when you take the things that are happening in this world. Just pick any subject that we talk about in the first segment of this show. The vaccine, or pandemics, or Hunter's laptop, or whatever else it is. And compare that with the awesome universe potential. Compare that with God's purpose and plan. Satan wants us to just be immersed into this world, in the ways of this world. God says to us, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look into the heavens and see what I'm preparing for you. See what you're being prepared for. Teeming with galaxies. Here are the first images. They start coming in last night, even as we're starting camp. They continued this morning. It's a good thing the NASA people weren't the ones that are responsible for the live stream. It's a good thing they weren't responsible for building the telescope. It's kind of funny when you think about some of the struggles we have from time to time. Our small little crew. And then here comes big NASA this morning. They can't even put together a quality live stream. That's hilarious. But there are some really amazing scientists and experts, particularly those that were working on this telescope for the past many years. I forget, Mr. Hilliker's gone through this before, but they've been a thousand different things could have gone wrong. And I suspect they had a little bit of help from God because it's a special project that shows us God's creation. I mean, you've even got some pundits today asking about how it all began. Now, they'll just quickly get right in lockstep with the rest of the sheep that say, oh, evolution, evolution, okay, evolution, evolution. Even as we see it teeming with galaxies, even as it squares perfectly with the way God describes it in Scripture, before there were telescopes. Pretty amazing. This is from NASA. It says, it's the deepest and sharpest infrared image of the distant universe. They wrote, this slice of the vast universe covers a patch of sky approximately the size of a grain of sand held at arm's length by someone on the ground. You can stick your finger out and one tiny little grain of sand, and that's what we're able to look into. You can't even wrap your mind around the size, the dimensions of it all. And here we are on just one little tiny, tiny speck. I mean, if that's what we're peering into, a grain of sand on a fingertip, then what must Earth be comparatively? Well, it's just a tiny, 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 tiny little speck of a planet on which we dwell. And consider the lofty and arrogant statements that just routinely come out from man's mouths. We think we know so much. We think we've got it all figured out. And read through 1 Corinthians 1 sometime, where God says, even the foolishness of God, if God had foolishness, is wiser than the loftiest thoughts and reasonings of men. God reveals his truth to those who are childlike. If you're curious about the universe and about our potential, about why we're here, you can actually come to understand the truth. Those of us in God's family, we should be the most excited about these images, and we certainly are. We need it. We need it. Look at this world. Look at what's happening to this world. As I told the students last night, or the campers at our opening orientation, the world is dying. It's gasping for its last few breaths. You can see it. The handwriting is on the wall. Total destruction is coming. It's what Jesus described in Matthew 24. Great tribulation. That this world has never seen anything like it. Never. And I mean, this world has had its share of atrocities and bloodshed and carnage. Tens of millions murdered, killed, destroyed because of war, because of famine, disease, because of bone-crushing poverty, malnutrition. This is from the Associated Press. It says, the first image from the $10 billion James Webb Space Telescope is the farthest humanity has ever seen in both time and distance, closer to the dawn of time and the edge of the universe. It says, how far back, past 13 billion years, did the first image look? It says here, NASA didn't provide any estimate Monday. Outside scientists said those calculations will take time, but they are fairly certain somewhere in the busy image is a galaxy older than humanity has ever seen, probably back to 500 million or 600 million years after the Big Bang. We'll leave aside Big Bang. I guess there was a Big Bang. If you understand God as creator, it had to have been spectacular. It was of God, after all. I suppose there were quite a few bangs going on when God brought all of this into existence. Of course, when the AP uses that term, they think of it in terms of evolution, that it just all exploded onto the scene, and there was no design behind it, and it's all kept in perfect order, at least as far as it's able to, this earth, that is, to sustain life. It's like we say in this booklet, it's the Goldilocks planet. If anything is just adjusted a tiny bit, if we were just a little bit closer to the sun, or a little bit closer, we burn up. A little bit farther away, we freeze to death. As it is, it's just perfect. Who made that? Who made it? And furthermore, why, when you look out into the planets, are they lifeless? Tohu and bohu, just as the Bible describes. But it's not going to stay that way. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Let me read to you Isaiah 51, verse 16. It says here, and I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand, it says, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, you are my people. Here's God talking about planting the heavens. There's about to be a lot of beauty and growth in all of these galaxies. It's teeming with galaxies, just waiting, just like Romans 8 brings out, groaning in travail, waiting for the birth of the first fruits. Now, if you were to hear a pundit talk about these images and how it relates to Romans 8 or Hebrews 2 or Psalm 8 or Isaiah 51 or Isaiah 45 or Genesis 1 verses 1 and 2, you'd fall off your chair. But you can, as always, you can come to this program, you can go to thetrumpet.com, and you can get to the truth. And how exciting is the truth of God? This future, our awesome universe potential. Call our operators if you haven't requested or read that booklet. It's a powerful booklet. You talk about some of those scriptures I just rattled off. They're in this book. Operators are standing by. 1-866. It's toll free here in the United States. 930-3024. Toll free number if you live in the U.S., Canada, the Caribbean. And you can order your free copy of our awesome universe potential. Subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine while you're at it, so that you can understand the truth about this world and why it's going dark and why the world is gasping for breath. Well, listen to this. Mr. Hilliker read this morning in his forum for the campers. It's over in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. And look at verse 15. God says to you and me, he says to our young people, it's so easy to fall in love with this world, isn't it? Satan loves his world. He wants you to love it too. He's the God of it. Revelation 12:9 says he's deceived the whole world. And so God here, inspiring his apostle, he writes, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So God, I could go through other passages with you as well. I'm just on a little bit of a tangent here. But God calls us out of this world and into his world, his family. That's what the church of God is. It's another world, and it's about to spring forth. Don't love this world. Set your heart on God's world. Verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And notice verse 17, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. This world and everything in it will soon pass away. You can read in Genesis 6 about what happened in the days leading up to the flood. The flood that destroyed that known world at that time. And there's another flood of fire coming at the end of God's 7,000-year plan. You can read about that in 2 Peter. This world and everything in it is going to pass away. God wants us to set our hearts on this universe vision, this universe potential. Let me take you back in time. This is a blast from the past. My father, almost 20 years ago, you can see how much younger he looks, and yet he's still going strong. God empowers him. God strengthens him. God fills this work with life, with energy. Read the end of Isaiah 40 sometime, those last few verses. Very encouraging, hopeful, hopeful and uplifting verses that talk about God giving strength to those who need it, who are weak. And we all are, to some degree, for sure. This is from 2005. It's about God's space program. Listen to my father from almost 20 years ago, clip one.
Now, when we look at man's space program, we certainly are impressed and we're moved by that. But did you know, and I'm talking about in a practical way here, did you know that God also has a space program for man? Verse 16, and I have put my words in your mouth and have covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, you are my people. Now that's God's church, and this is God's plan for man. For everybody is going to be a part of his church in time. But he says, I want to use you as my family to plant the heavens. What does that mean, to plant the heavens? To plant the universe as well as the earth and make it all look like a Garden of Eden, as it mentions in verse 3. God's plan, you see, is to send man to outer space, to Mars, and all of the universe, to plant the heavens. To plant the heavens. Now, the more I think about that expression, the more I am in awe of it. because, of course, man has to be sent out there to restore the universe to the condition it was in before Satan rebelled. God has a master plan for man to plant the heavens. Plant the heavens. He wants us to think big and at the same time to be practical. And when he talks about his wife has made herself ready in Revelation 19 and verse 7, his bride has made herself ready, we have to get ready for that. Just like NASA has to get ready for a space shot. God says his church, his bride, is being made ready to help Christ lead the world out into the whole universe. And I tell you, it's so much bigger than anything we even dreamed of doing on this earth as far as our space program is concerned. Comfort you. Do you know that this world needs the comfort of God, and they seek comfort and they seek fulfillment in all kinds of areas where they're never, ever going to find it? If you want real comfort and everlasting joy and be going around singing melodies, then you need to learn about God's amazing space plan. You need to learn about God's plan. Get that vision in your mind, and I'll tell you, your spirit is going to soar.
Pretty exciting stuff there. That's from 2005. That's how your spirit soars, as my father explained there. If you set your mind on God's amazing space plan, and you know he made the point there, this is of course years before we ever heard of James Webb, the telescope, but he talked about how that NASA puts in all that time, all that funding, that money, that preparation, the plans, just to take a picture, of the universe, a little grain of sand. To take a picture, are we preparing for our future in that universe? Our awesome universe potential. Are we putting in the time? Are we preparing for it? It's easy to turn and walk away from this. So many people have. So many of God's people have just turned and walked away. I mean, it's as if they're just kind of shrugging their shoulders, saying, you know what? Take it or leave it. The universe, our awesome potential, our potential to be born into God's family and to live forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know. I mean, I really love this world. I'm just gonna burn away this life for a few years of fun, 5-10 years of fun, in exchange for eternity. Our awesome universe potential. I mentioned that conclusion to Mystery of the Ages. Mr. Armstrong says, how wonderful beyond the ability of words to express is the glory of God and his wonderful purpose actually now in progress. Mr. Armstrong said, I can't even really express this the right way. It's so wonderful. It's so magnificent. Praise, honor, and glory be to God and to Jesus Christ forever and ever. You know, some people struggle with, well, how do I sit down and or kneel down and pray? How do I pray for a half hour or 45 minutes or an hour maybe? What would I talk about? Well, the deeper you get into this purpose and plan, the more you're going to be able to kneel down before God and say, how wonderful, beyond the ability of words to express, is this awesome and wonderful plan of God that's actually now in progress. Thank God for your purpose and plan, dear Father. Thank you for being my God, for creating me, for being the father of a family, for giving us the potential to be born into your family and to inhabit the universe, to plant the heavens. You start meditating on that purpose and plan, you're going to have a lot to talk about with God. You start going through our awesome universe potential, Mystery of the Ages, the incredible human potential, And you're going to have a lot to talk about. You're going to be really excited about some things. Mr. Armstrong says here, with God's master plan of 7,000 years finally completed, the mystery of the ages finally revealed, and with the recreating of the vast universe and eternity lying ahead, we come finally to the beginning. We come finally to the beginning. And to think about how arrogant and how vain human beings can be with just 50, 60, maybe 70 years in this fleshly frame, on this little grain of sand that is the earth, not even a grain of sand. And compared to what God is offering us, it's humbling. It's awesome, it's inspiring, it's motivating, and it's humbling as well. We realize just how nothing, how little we amount to, physically speaking. I mean, it's an awesome creation, even the physical frame, the human mind and body. Mr. Armstrong says it's the most wonderful mechanism that can be made from material substance. Fearfully and wonderfully made, said David in Psalm 139. Yes, it is magnificent, but why? Because we have a human spirit. Because no other living creature or being has that. It's a godly type mind. That's what the human spirit gives us the ability to do. To think, to reason, to appreciate, to create even. But how can you compare it to the level of brilliance and perfection right up at God's throne room, bringing this universe, this vast universe into existence, laying out this plan, this master plan, bringing us through, in the case of human existence, through this 7,000-year period, and then we come to, as Mr. Armstrong said there, with eternity and the universe lying in front of us, then we come to the beginning. Wow, the beginning! Notice Isaiah 45, and verse 18, it says here, "For thus saith the Eternal, that created the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it, he has established it." Why? What did he make it for? Why did he establish it? Why did he create the heavens and the earth? Why does he draw attention to the earth? What's so special about Earth? In the incredible human potential, Mr. Armstrong says here, what God creates, he maintains. What he creates for a purpose. He intends it to be put to use, a right use that preserves and improves. It says this use, maintenance, and improvement is controlled in the process of united cooperative action by the government of God. Thank God for his government. Thank God for his family government, for his family plan, for his awesome purpose. Verse 18 again, it says, "For thus says the Eternal that created the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it, he has established it." He has established it. He created it not in vain. The Hebrew word for vain there is tohu. That's what it became in Genesis 1 and verse 2. God's not the author of confusion and disorder. He's not the author of decay and degeneration. He didn't create it in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Just like Earth is inhabited. It's certainly not God's civilization. That's coming. But we are able to, as I said earlier, on this Goldilocks planet, we are able to have a physical existence. It's becoming more and more of a dangerous world, crime infested, just like Genesis 6. I mean, we're repeating history. God says in Genesis 6, in those days before the flood, that the minds of men were on evil continually. Just every thought just consumed with evil. And God looked at it and, I mean, God grieved. The Bible says that that God repented of ever making man. I mean, God was moved to tears. If he could cry, he would have. God's an emotional being. It's hard for him to look at what we're doing to ourselves. And here is history repeating itself. Here our thoughts, our minds are just on evil continually. And God says, you know, you better learn from the lesson of the flood or Sodom and Gomorrah. God didn't create it in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. He formed us to plant the heavens, as it says in Isaiah 51. That's what my father was building the entire program around back in 2005. And then you contrast this, inhabiting the universe, with the world today and people that love this world. They love it. And God speaks of the church as just a little flock. It often talks about God's people as a remnant. Just a tiny little remnant, a sliver. Because most of humanity, they don't want this. They don't want a relationship with God. They certainly don't want to live within the bounds of God's laws. They love this world. They love the God of this world. They're deceived. And the real sad and tragic reality of our time today, these last days, is how many of God's own people, tens of thousands of God's people, that have turned and not just walked away from, well, I don't know about this law or this, you know, this is expected of me. That's not for me. They've walked away from their awesome universe potential. When we come back, we'll contrast some of that, what I just described there, coming out from this booklet, Mystery of the Ages, and some of our other literature. We'll contrast all of that with the world today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to email the show, the email address is td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Why are you out here?
Well, I want to stand behind the farmers. We see that the Dutch government is taking more and more away from our lives. and is going towards a dictatorial system, and we have to draw a line in the sand. They will continue taking more and more of our property, of our land, of our houses, and of our lives. This is happening here today, will happen in your country tomorrow. And if somebody is denying that, now he's living on under a stone. If you don't see that today, you have to wake up today.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with conspiracy. The facts are on the table that we are taken into a dystopian world.
We're heading into a dystopian world, says one of the protesters over in the Netherlands. And you know all about those tractors and the farmers that are saying, look, they're not trying to reduce carbon emissions. They're coming after our land. They want more control. Who can deny? Like he said, you'd have to be living under a stone somewhere to deny the spread of authoritarianism and dictatorships and communism. These are all of man. These are all of Satan's world. Satan is the god of this world. You, as I said earlier, you contrast this world with the world that God is about to set up. This is from, I thought this was interesting, it's from the New York Post. You might remember a couple years ago when we, my family, visited Monticello, Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson's estate, and how even then, I talked about it on the radio show here, and said it was just shocking to hear some of the things that they were saying about America's founder, one of them. The New York Post decided to look into this. Good for them. It says here, but the hilltop mansion designed by Jefferson himself, once preserved as a tribute to the author of the Declaration of Independence, now offers visitors a harangue on the horrors of slavery. This is what it's all about. So God says, lift up your eyes, look up into the heavens, and set your minds on the future. And of course, we don't want to do that. And even when we look back, even when we go back into our own history, what do? Well, we talk about how horrible that founding was. We hate ourselves. We hate the way that the United States was established. We hate the fact that God poured out blessings upon us, not because of our own righteousness, not by a long shot. It's because of promises he made to Abraham. The Post says here, the whole thing has the feel of propaganda and manipulation. Jeffrey Tucker, founder of the Liberation Brownstone Institute and a recent visitor to Monticello, says, people on my tour seemed sad and demoralized. They visit Monticello, this estate that's supposed to celebrate the life of the author of the Declaration of Independence. And they come away sad and demoralized. That's the way it is more and more with anything that this world puts forward. Look at the world's forms of entertainment. Sad and it's demoralizing, isn't it? Does it uplift your spirit? Does it get you excited about your future? Or in the case of looking back at history, does it get you excited about upholding the ideals of that document, the Declaration of Independence? Or what do you want to do? Just destroy the institutions of this nation. A lot of people think that way. Universities are churning them out year after year. Says here, the visitors complain that employees go out of their way to belittle Jefferson and his life. They're at Jefferson's house. They're at Jefferson's estate. And what do? Well, they belittle him. They go out of their way to do it. Says here, the tour guides play besmirchment derby, never missing a chance to defame this brilliant, complex man. Stephen Owen says, or he wrote on Facebook, half of the comments on Jefferson were critical, says another one in an online review. Even my 11-year-old daughter noticed the bias. Tucker described his guide last month as surly and dismissive of Jefferson's accomplishments. Some asked if Jefferson had built a machine in the house, and the guide said, nah, he never built anything. He was just a tinkerer. Some guide says this. Can you believe this? says it was ridiculous. He was the architect of this house and of the University of Virginia. What are you talking about? He designed the house, the estate, the positioning for the view. He raised up the University of Virginia. He authored the Declaration of Independence. And here's some idiot guide telling you what you need to know about Thomas Jefferson. And the guide knows nothing. And the guide has accomplished nothing. What's behind this? What's the spirit behind this? It says here, but on a visit this week, the Post found the grievance has become the predominant theme at Monticello. From the ticket booth in the visitor center, decorated with the contemporary painting of Jefferson's weeping slaves, to its final gift shop display, not even the president's world-famous music room, an octagonal space carefully restored to its 18th century grandeur and decorated with Gilbert Stuart's original presidential portrait and classical bust, is safe from revisionist disapproval. A grim, modern painting of a faceless figure with a matte black head now looms over the room, positioned so that it directly confronts visitors as they enter the mansion. It says the huge 4-foot by 5-foot work, a new addition to Monticello's collection, was commissioned in honor of Juneteenth last month, said Susan Woodward, the Post guide on Wednesday. It's quite provocative, I do believe. Got to tell you about Juneteenth if you're going to come visit Monticello. It says, how does the land come to be in European possession? A guide named Justin asked an unresponsive group of vacationers from Germany. They're teaching this to German vacationers. A lot of violence, right? He prodded. Placards with conversation starters on the topic of civil rights festoon a patio outside the snack shop. Is all men are created equal being lived up to in our country today? One reads. When will we know when it is? It continues, supplying a negative answer to the first question. Books by critical race theory proponents Ibram Kendi and this other gal enjoy pride of place in the visitor center's gift shop, while the smaller farm shop store displays 5 titles on Jefferson's slaves. So if you're looking to be uplifted, to be a little bit inspired, forget about the universe's potential for a moment. But if you want a real lift, a real dose of inspiration, don't go to Monticello. Don't go to Thomas Jefferson's estate. Because you're likely to come away from that sad and demoralized. Sad history, indeed. Sad history. Updates on, well, it's not even worth getting into, is it? Hunter Biden's scandalous images that continue to be leaked and distributed all over the world. So much of it, so sickening, it's not even worthy to be mentioned. And that's the kind of filth just on display every day in this world, the world of today. Aren't you thankful and excited about the world tomorrow? The world that God is building, the world that we're building right here on this campus during SEP. What a blessing. What an honor it is to represent God. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with some viewer feedback. And also, I didn't mention this up top, but we've got more audience feedback, this time in response to the grand finale, the final presentation of Celtic Throne, which was just this past Sunday at beautiful, talk about uplifting and inspiring, at the beautiful Ambassador Auditorium, Armstrong Auditorium, I should say, patterned after the Ambassador Auditorium back in the day. So we'll get to that and a few emails that have come in from you, the viewer, in just a moment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
The show was awesome. Absolutely fantastic. Oh, I loved it.
It was so intense. I smiled so hard. My face is just, I loved it. I think that was the best. I've seen it online. I saw it live before, but this was incredible.
It was great. Like, I do dance, but I'm not that good. That was like the best show I've ever seen in my life.
The resurgence bit was awesome. It really was awesome to see people's patriotism. I feel like a lot of people don't hear it nowadays, but when everyone starts hearing the songs and they're singing along to it, they really want to express the patriotism, so it was great.
It's the most wonderful thing I've ever seen, and it's different every single time I've seen it, so I can't wait for the next time it comes around to see it again, because it'll be different again, I'm sure.
You just notice everything's each different things every time you come. There's always something new to watch for.
I love the new stuff. I like that they added it, and it was way better than last year. It was great last year, but even better so this year.
We had seen Lord of the Dance, and when I saw this was going to be here, we had to come from Northwest Oklahoma.
Yeah, cool.
It was awesome.
Well, this was my first time actually seeing it, and it was a blast. It was, words can't even describe how awesome it was.
Before the intermission is just, you think it can't get better. Then the very first thing they come out with, everybody, whoa, the crowd's louder than it's ever been, and it just gets progressively louder.
It was amazing. I was choked up through most of it. Wanted to cry. Had to stop myself. The people behind me were crying.
Yeah, the first minute when the curtains opened, I lost it and started, crying. It was so moving.
Amazing. Wonderful. Loved it so much. It just brought us all in and made us all feel like family.
We've talked today about the contrast between God's world and the world today, and that for people that just come and see it and experience it, that's the reaction that you get 99% of the time. There's always a few, there's some that don't, they don't like the American medley. They don't like the patriotism because, well, they probably are used to what you would get at Monticello. If you're going to see some of the sights and the sounds in America. Someone forwarded to me two comments of people that didn't like the show. That's rare, but there are some people who, even when they're presented with a hope-filled, inspired message, they refuse. They just refuse to be uplifted. I guess for them, it's more fun to be sad and demoralized. I don't, in any kind of religious tone at all, get it out. Otherwise, hey, it's extreme. Are you a cult? Did you know that they, in the first century, they viewed Jesus Christ as a cult leader? Did you know that they murdered Jesus Christ? He took a principled stand for God. Jesus did. And there were those that said, they said Paul was a heretic. They said Paul was a cult leader. If only we'd listen to Jesus Christ and obey his commands. And same with Paul, the Apostle Paul, or John. I quoted from him earlier in the show. What an inspiration. If we'll just open our eyes and our ears and bring a teachable attitude and outlook and let God fill our hearts and our minds with hope, real hope, lasting hope. One of our viewers writes, "America Under Attack is so riveting. I could not stop until it was finished. It is all there. The glossary, the index is thorough and impressive. Well done. The refreshing truth." Surely the land will not be able to bear all the words, but blessed be to those who hear God's voice and repent. See, there are a few who will hear God's voice. What an opportunity we all have right in front of us to just turn to Him in repentance. If you can't look at this world, the world today, and see that there's something terribly wrong with it, then your heads are firmly buried in the sand, for sure. Most, of course, will just go along. They'll just follow along like good little sheeple. Another one writes, I just can't believe what is happening in this world today. My husband and I are very thankful for your program, The Trumpet Daily. We've ordered many of your books. We've learned about what is happening in this crazy world and understand the Bible more fully. It says, thank you for all that you do. God bless you. Another one writes here, rudderless, aimless, and hopeless, you say. Sounds about right. The January 6th hearing is like a clown court. Kangaroo court would be fairer in their procedures. Hunter Biden, the White House greeter. Adam, what's his name, that is so confused about either or. Seems like you need no credentials nowadays to be in politics. Just have to fill their quotas of first. Fill their quotas of first. No credentials whatsoever. Another one here says, you just totally won me over with your best show ever. I'm not sure which one this is in response to. It says, when you said Donald Trump went for the clavicle, I started crying. Another one says here, your show was absolutely masterful. Here's one regarding Sam Livingston filling in a few days back, no doubt from his father. It says here, your 4th of July Trumpet Daily show was exceptional. It really tore at my heart to hear a World War II veteran lament about the sacrifices made for this country and what it has become. I think Mr. Hilliker played this clip for the campers this morning. The man's 100 years old, and he's brought to tears over what we've done with the freedoms that he fought for in World War II. And he talked about how different the nation is today compared to the one that he grew up in. It says here, what the country has become, a self-absorbed, perverted nation of lust for power and recognition. It says, a nation that was to be a model to the world of the blessings that would come if we obeyed God and recognized the blessings God bestowed upon us. It now acts like a banana republic driven by far-left communist agendas. It says, I've talked to many veterans, past and present, and the feeling that tearful man expressed is felt by all of us. This is not the nation that we fought for and defended. It certainly isn't. Another one writes here, I was very impressed with how Sam Livingston, or Livingstone as he puts it, stepped in at very short notice and was able to be interesting and informative. It says, not everyone can do that. Hope Stephen Fleury has a speedy recovery. And I did. I certainly did. Another one here says, another awesome program. Thank you for using the gift God has given you. We all need more zeal, energy, drive, inspiration, and a complete overhaul of what we are. It says, thank you for your example. I'm sure whatever it was that happened will be taken care of. That's another one responding to the afternoon that I had to, or the middle or late part of the program when I had to step aside. It says here, a little rest and refreshment with the family must have been just what you needed because you came out today guns blazing. Glad to know nothing serious was wrong. Good to know that God is in charge. Thank you for your presentation today. It was awesome. If you'd like to email some feedback to the show, you know where to reach us, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this SEP Camp edition of The Trumpet Daily, and we hope that you'll join us again tomorrow.